here we go.
It's the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates.
And he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
It certainly is time, and welcome to the Monday Waffle Podcast. I'm Ash Nelson, and alongside me today I have Matt and Sam with me. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
How's it going, Ash?
Good, good. Some unexpected victories and also some close matches on the weekend. So let's get started with the recap. South Fremantle Bulldogs defeated East Perth Royals to score their 15-13-103 to 16-6-102. Probably expected South Fremantle to actually win by a little bit more.
Yeah, well, you know, East Perth haven't had a particularly great season, but they just got toppled in the end by a single point. And of course, terrible news coming about Marlon Pickett.
Yeah, so Marlon Pickett, obviously a star with the Bulldogs. His chances of being recruited in this afternoon's AFL mid-season draft took a bit of a dip. He actually broke his finger, and that's the second time that he's actually broken that finger. So fingers crossed it doesn't really affect his prospects in this mid-season draft. But I think for me, I was surprised that it was only a one-point victory. South Fremantle coming off beating reigning premiers Subiaco last week, and they looked like they were in good form, but clearly the East Perth Royals actually really took it to them. Sandover medalist Hayden Sloyth, he was our dominant for the Bulldogs.
Yes, he's continued his good form for the Royals. It was Rowan Kerr who missed out on that state squad call-up. So, you know, he's proven the selectors wrong, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I think also honourable mention has to go to the full forward, Mason Shaw. He's continued his rich vein of form. He added five majors to hauls of 4, 6, and 2 in previous wins. So he's looking like he's actually come into some fairly significant form for the Bulldogs there. Just to note, guys, as well, it was the Bulldogs' sixth win from 7 games. And the only loss that they actually had so far was against Perth, who have been performing relatively well, and that was a 3-point loss in round 2. So that's their only blemish. So I think that these guys might be some hot contenders come finals time. Let's move on. Claremont lost to Subiaco 52-76. Subiaco coming off its first defeat since 2017 grand final, but it seems like, you know, that might have just been a minor hiccup.
Kane Mitchell for the Tigers had 32 disposals.
And for Subi, we had Lee Kitchen, who was dominant. Ryan Borchet found the goal square on a number of occasions.
Do you think that Claremont, they were quite dominant at the start of the season. They're slowly just starting to slip down the ladder. Do you think that they are premiership contenders?
It's interesting to say because against those quality sides, you have seen Jai Bolton, you know, not have as much of an influence. Is that because he's getting tagged heavily? I'm not so sure. But, yeah, they've definitely sort of dropped off a little bit. I know Perth had a win against them as well, so, yeah.
Well, speaking of Perth, they had a great start to the season, but unfortunately this is their second defeat against East Fremantle, 12-8-80, Perth 9-8-62. And you'd have to say that this is probably one of the biggest upsets of the round.
You're right. It was an upset, and 18 points is fairly, it's not a small margin. The Sharks have now won 2 on the trot, whereas the Perth Demons, they've lost their last 2, so they really need a sort of turnaround in form. Eardley found a lot of the ball for East Fremantle. For Perth, Matt Taylor was around and amongst it. Same with Rowe.
Yeah, so we mentioned East Fremantle had its first victory in 12 months last round, and now they've gone back-to-back. And believe it or not, it's the first time in 3 years that the Sharks have had back-to-back wins. So that's a huge achievement for Bill Monahan and the East Fremantle Sharkies. So it's good to see that they're on their winning way and actually has a bit of competition to this competition. Apparently Perth coach Earl Spalding had to rev his side up in the first quarter. He was questioning their aggression quite a bit. Only 8 tackles in that first quarter against a fairly young opponent, so probably not good enough, and certainly the attitude aspect had to be looked at as far as Perth's concerned. And I can only imagine Earl Spalding giving a spray. I think there would have been a few scared Perth Demons.
He's an intimidating man.
He is indeed. East Perth, Tim Monaghan, 3 goals. As you mentioned, Cameron Early as well, one of the best performers, 20 disposals and in the first half and 37 for the match. Someone notable for Perth though, Michael Bennell, he managed 2 goals and certainly he'll be putting his hands up for selection come the mid-season draft this afternoon. So he's been pretty impressive for Perth this year. Swan Districts 10-10-70 defeated West Coast Eagles 7-14-56 at Bassendean Steel Blue Oval. And Swan Districts, they were desperate to bounce back from that previous loss against East Fremantle Sharks and to do it against Eagles, who are struggling for a bit of form lately.
It was also a heavy game for injuries. One set of broken ribs for the Swans and 2 injuries for the Eagles as well.
That's the West Coast Eagles' 3rd loss in a row, and that sees them drop down to 8th place. Interesting note, the Swan Districts actually snapped a 9-game losing streak at Steel Blue Oval, so it's not a ground that they've typically performed well at, but good to see them get the victory. And probably notable people to mention in that game, Eagle Brady Gray, he had 27 disposals.
Do you think he'll get picked up?
Brady Gray? Yeah. Oh, I think that probably he'd be one of the favourites to be picked up, looking at they had an announcement on the Waffle website sort of going through each of the players who might be likely, and I certainly think that he's been performing and probably having that AFL experience as well, served some time at Fremantle, I think it might have been.
Yeah, it was
so
great,
whether
yeah.
that might have been a little bit early for him and he's gone back to Waffle and now really sort of come to into full bloom as a player, I don't see why he shouldn't get that sort of second opportunity. So hopefully, keep fingers crossed for him. Swan District, so midfielder George Hampson, he was going head-to-head with Brady Gray, and neither of them were taking a backwards step throughout the midfield. So they were both quite impressive.
And Matt Riggio as well, he was pretty impressive.
Just to note, Hampson, he was actually being reported
yeah.
for striking Gray. So, like I said, they're going head-to-head, but obviously Gray was getting under Hampson's skin just a little bit in the second quarter. So, a good win there for Swan District, certainly much needed after last week's loss. And before we head on and analyse the other matches of the round, Sam Gerling actually spoke with Swan District's player Nathan Blakely.
So last week you wrote a column in their words and you wrote that there were only 4 people from your Colts team still playing for Swans. Why do you think that is?
So interesting one. And a few people have actually contacted me, some writers from West Australia, and had a chat to me about it and had their opinion on why there is such a low retention rate. Is it because during the, I guess, development years and coming into Colts, everyone's brought up to look at the AFL and that's kind of the end-all option. And there's, if you're not playing that, you might as well just go back to amateurs. So whether people aspire too highly, their parents are kind of pushing them to the AFL and they don't see Waffle as a legitimate good source of football. And then once they miss out in the AFL, they get quite disappointed and then they realise how hard it is to actually make it at Waffle as well. And that kind of sets them back, and then they just find other things in life and go travelling. They'd rather go to the country, make some money, apprenticeships, work. People are a bit scared of getting injured. So there's probably a few reasons, but yeah, maybe the rating a big consideration is just the disappointment of people not making the AFL.
Hey Nathan, you sort of took the words out of my mouth a bit. How many players actually do go and try and make a bit of coin playing country football? Is it a relatively popular thing to do?
Yeah, it's quite significant, the amount of money that you can get for being a pretty okay footballer, and I think it takes away from the the camaraderie that you get even at the amateur clubs in Perth, because well, they're starting to pay a bit more now, changed this year, but before that country was a real option, and if you'd played even one league game of football, you could expect $600-800 at a country club.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing that you mentioned in your column was the huge amount of commitment that it does take to be a Waffle player. What do you expect of yourself and your teammates?
Yeah, so I think when you're coming through, as I said before, with people not really playing, when I first started playing league, I think you don't know how much you have to work on yourself and your body, and this is something you really have to learn, and that's what Adam and a lot of the senior guys are trying to install into these young kids early on.
What are you expecting against Perth next week?
Perth's always a tough matchup, a kind of rival. We used to play them 3 times a year, but with the new fixture structure this year, only the twice. And they are pretty good, started the season really well, up and about, playing really good attacking footy in the last couple of weeks. Have lost to I think it was East Perth 2 weeks ago, and then East Fremantle, maybe.
Lost to East Frey, yeah.
Yeah, so they're a bit down at the moment, whether it's just a bit of lull in their form, but I expect them coming out firing, as they do always. All these Perth, Swan District games are always really close, so I expect it again. Christian Ayres is a opponent that I've played against a fair few times. He's a good workhorse and likes to push me around and use his extra strength, so I'm going to try to work him around the ground and try to get up those disposal numbers up to about 20.
Moving on, West Perth 12-6-78 defeated Peel Thunder 11-7-73. And West Perth, well, they've been struggling for a little bit of form after being reigning, in the grand final last year. But it seems that they have found some form.
How good was Mitchell Pearce?
He was sensational. So Andrew Strike and Mitchell Pearce, they were the two that managed to get the last two goals to give them the victory. But Mitch Pearce, 36 possessions, 12 marks, and 8 inside 50s. Andrew Strike, 3 goals as well.
And you've got to say, Harley Bennell is sort of pushing his claim to be, you know, selected by Fremantle and make that re-entry into the AFL.
Yeah, I think he's still got a little way to go. I mean, this was his first game back for a significant period of time, and we know that he's had calf issues and numerous injuries, but it was nice to see him back out there. And for someone that actually hasn't played much football whatsoever, he had a very impressive first hit out for Peel. So 30 disposals, 5 marks, and also 2 goals in the second quarter. And he only played about 80% of the time that other athletes were out there running around. So promising signs for Harley Bennell. I'm sure that they'll probably give him a bit more time in the waffle before blooding him in the Dockers. But fingers crossed he manages to stay out of the way from any further injuries. I think as far as Peel Thunder goes, certainly they would be disappointed with how they perform. Their coach Cam Shepherd said that their third quarter was probably what really cost them. And also missing their captain Ben Howlett with a shoulder injury. I think that a little bit more experience and leadership would have gone a long way in that game, and he's going to be out for probably about another month.
Disappointing.
Now it's time for the match previews for the upcoming weekend with Sam. Sam, what do we have lined up?
Well, it's a long weekend, so we've got games spread over the Saturday, Sunday and Monday. On the Saturday, you can see Perth versus Swan Districts at the Mineral Resources Park, 2:15. Sunday, Claremont versus West Coast, 11:30, and Peel Thunder versus Subi at 2:15. And on the Monday, if you're looking for something to do on the public holiday, East Frio versus South Frio, 2:10, and East Perth versus West Perth.
So you're telling me two derbies?
Two derbies, that's it. Lined up for the public holiday. How exciting.
What a great way to spend a public holiday.
I think that I'll be watching one of those. If I'm not busy moving, I'm having to move house, guys. So I don't know what's better. I might move and then go and get distracted before I have to do the cleaning.
That's it.
All right, thanks, Sam, for that. Let's move on now because it is time for the Monday Rumble.
Tonight is the mid-season draft, which means a number of Waffle players will have the opportunity to be recruited to the AFL. Ash, you think it's a good thing, and Matt, you're not so sure. Tell us why.
Well, basically, I'm a big proponent of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And teams should be able to sort things out at the start of the year. You get a draft at the start of the year. You should reward those teams who have good list management. They invest in a solid medical team, and they make careful selections at that initial draft. Injuries create an element of unpredictability throughout the season, and that can be a great equaliser. It makes the whole season more interesting. And why should the AFL disrupt these existing Waffle Club seasons? You know, if you take their best player, then it could create a really big problem for those clubs.
Yeah, well, I think that you need to actually start to... Good points, Matt. I'm going to give you some good points, but I think mine are better. So here we go. I'm coming from it from an athlete's perspective. And I guess as an athlete, your goal in general is to play at an elite level and to reach the highest level. And I'm sure a lot of the guys that are putting in so much effort at a Waffle level have aspirations to actually play at an AFL level. I'm not saying all of them, but certainly a large proportion of them would have that. So I say any chance to be recruited to an AFL level, why deny those athletes and football players that opportunity purely because it's halfway through the year? I think any opportunity or avenue that can be created to make sure that these players that haven't been picked up as a youngster but now are a mature age player can actually be enlisted into at an AFL level. So I appreciate the fact that maybe it might mean the waffle being upset a little bit as far as team lists go, but at the same time it can open up opportunities for some of our youngsters coming through to be blooded at a higher level as well. So it sort of has that flow-on effect of giving opportunity, which happens a lot with injuries as well. And, you know, we have seen so many mature age players that didn't get enlisted right at the very start of a season or as a young player and have gone into an AFL level and doing so well now. So, you know, Tim Kelly at the moment, you just have to look at Matt Prittis, who was an excellent example of a mature age player. Matty Parker is another one as well. So I know that this is the first time that we've got a mid-season draft, but I'm just saying that I think that there are so many untapped athletes out there that just weren't picked up early on, and this is a fantastic avenue for them to be recruited.
But I ask you, are they being denied the opportunity, or merely is the opportunity being delayed?
Well, delayed, but you know, this is their livelihood. You know, you've got waffle level players training day in, day out for something that they, you know, getting paid, but why deny them the opportunity to then go play at an AFL level, get paid a little bit more when it is their livelihood, when you can have an extra 6 months of getting paid at that rate as well? So, yes, they're not being denied the opportunity, but they certainly are being delayed. And I think that there'd be a lot of clubs that could use these players in that 6 months, particularly coming forward into finals time.
Good points, Nello.
Well, as the observer of today's Monday Rumble, I think you've raised an excellent point, Ash, and that I hope that this provides lots of opportunities for a number of players. And Matt, also, will be interesting to see what influence this has on the waffle competition.
Don't sit on the fence, Sam. Give a winner. Come on.
Well, maybe you should tell us who you think won today's Monday Rumble. But for me, I am handing the baton to Ash.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Monday Waffle podcast. This Monday, we'll be back next week. Make sure you head to the Facebook page and share your opinion.